morning, everybody, and welcome to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pallas and Joe Novella, bringing you the best in grassroots sports information every week. Welcome to you, Steve. How you going, mate?
Joe, I'm going really well. Thanks for having us back on the show. It's
hard not to have the boss back on the show, let me tell you that.
Yeah, good on you. I'm very excited about the shows, but this one in particular, like you said in the lead-up, in the intro there, that we bring the latest in grassroots sports.
Oh, it's a belter.
And this show is really exciting. This show is about live streaming,
we're
Joe.
Diving right into the technology pool, right in the deep end of that technology pool. So we're going to be talking basically about a method that's available to every grassroots sports club out there that will enable them to have their own live TV of their sports event. That's basically in a nutshell what we're talking about, isn't it?
It is, and it's
and that's very exciting.
It absolutely is, Joe. I mean, who would have thought that that was possible even 12 months ago? So we won't steal the thunder of the next 45 to 50 minutes of the show. We'll let people much more knowledgeable.
And that person is Andrew Collins, the general manager, product of Fox Sports Pulse.
Now, one thing before we get Andrew on the phone, one thing that we keep threatening to launch a product, Joe. We keep threatening to launch a book and some training and some online and some Facebook training. How far away are we with that?
Well, the threats are almost coming to fruition. So we're basically a couple of days away from going live on our online Facebook training. So for any of you out there, please keep tabs on our website, because in the next couple of days you'll be able to purchase some online training for Facebook, which will walk you through all the fundamentals of Facebook and how it can help you achieve your club's objectives. And that's the important point. It's not just about learning how to exist on Facebook. It's how to use Facebook at your club to achieve the kinds of things that you want to do, like increase your membership, get more sponsors, get more people to your events, raise more funds, those kinds of things that all clubs want to do. And we're having a special, Steve, we're having a special for the first 3 months of the launch. Recommended retail price for the course is $49.95. We're going to be giving it as a special or making it available as a special for $19.95 in the first 3 months. So,
did we discuss that? Or did you just do that?
No, I think I might have made an executive decision that may very well mean I might not be back here next week.
You'll be back here next week. Unless it doesn't sell, then that'll be a whole different topic. But that's really exciting, as is the week in sports community. We've got presentations this week all around the country, Joe, in Canberra and in Sydney. We're heading off to the Dragon Boat New South Wales Conference.
Now, are you doing the Canberra?
I'm doing the Canberra and the Dragon Boats, and I must admit I'm really excited about both of those two, talking to the national sporting teams in Canberra and the Dragon Boat clubs of New South Wales. And we're also knee-deep in our winter training series for Bowls Victoria. So I think we're delivering something in the order of 11 or 12 training sessions to Bowls clubs in Victoria, all around the state. Most, where are we doing this week? Warrnambool and Geelong and Bungaree, that's where I stayed, with the president of the Bungaree Bowls Club, Tony Trigg. Thank you very much for your hospitality. I wasn't so happy about it the next morning when I was driving to Horsham, but thank you very much. The folks at Horsham, fantastic. We've been out to Sale, Warrigal, and next week coming we're also at Wangaratta and East Shepparton. So it's a very busy time for us at Sports Community.
It is indeed. We've got plenty on, and we also have plenty on the show as well. So stay tuned. We got Andrew Collins, General Manager, Product, Fox Sports Pulse, on after our station sponsors' messages to talk all about this exciting world of live video streaming. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pallas and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, as mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a fantastic guest for you today. His name is Andrew Collins. He's the General Manager of Product at Fox Sports Pulse. Welcome to Sports Community Radio, Andrew.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
G'day, Andrew. That was Joe, which will probably be his only contribution to the whole interview. So we better give him a little bit of credit where it's due, mate. We are so glad that you're on the show. You have an enormous amount of experience in grassroots sport, being with what was Sporting Pulse and now Fox Sport Pulse for well over 14 years. So you would have. Over that journey, you would have seen a lot of changes in the way that grassroots sports run and administered and managed by the clubs and the volunteers.
Yeah, no doubt. And we've been there at the bleeding edge with local administrators and hand on heart, and loved every minute of it. So no, it's a great community. Not only the results and the fixtures and all the things that we publish, but the actual sort of local community is something that's that I'm a part of as a parent of two kids that play sports. So yeah, I love it. I'm very lucky to be employed in this space.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. We do training sessions all around the country. I think I just added up this week. We're doing 14 different training sessions, and I did one last night. And I mean, I walked away from the session just inspired by what the volunteers do for their communities. It's just for us, we feel honoured to be able to help and empower the volunteers just to make it easy.
Yeah, volunteers. That's the thing, isn't it? It's people that got a deep care for their community. So they're doing everything they can, not only for their kids, but for a community of kids or adults. So no, it's always a great passionate community. So at Fox Sports Pulse, I guess over the journey. We've got a lot of love, and then we get some passion on the other side when we don't get things quite right. But that's everyone has that great intention, which is sort of running sport as a volunteer at the local level, and it's the fabric of Australia, isn't it? It's very deep, in communities sport.
Well, it holds the communities together, and I guess the reason that we've asked you to come onto the show is because not long ago an email came across my screen talking about the partnership between Fox Sports Pulse and YouTube and live video streaming, which is to me what we thought, Joe and I thought, was the next bastion of where club administration or the tools that clubs were going to have access to. So I just wanted to ask you in really simple terms, and I'm no genius, I'm not really sure what live video streaming is myself.
Yep.
So
yep.
If you can talk to us about that partnership and what it is and what that means to clubs would be just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, in the very sort of, to cut it as simply as I can, video streaming is the act of, simultaneously filming and publishing an event as you go. So if you think about the way we may have used YouTube in the past, is that we would go somewhere and we would film an interview, or we might film a quarter of football or something like that, and then we would go back to our computer and it would be a big file, and we would upload that, and then people could watch it, what we would say, on demand.
Yes.
So now YouTube, not only YouTube, and the technology has been around for quite a long time now, but the technology allows us to stream a match live to the web. So it's simultaneously, I'm standing there with the camera, and it's also streaming on the web, but also the output is that the video is still there after the match, available on demand. So instead of loading that big file at the end of the match, you can get don't want to get too technical, but you can get these things called encoders that allow you to sort of upload your video sort of on the fly, so people can watch it anywhere in the world.
So streaming really just means, from a user's point of view, that as you say, I could be sitting in London and watching my grandson's, which I don't have a grandson, my son's. Oh, I don't have a son either. That's a really bad analogy. My child's game of netball on the other side of the world, effectively live as it's happening, as if it was on TV. Is that what that really means?
Yeah, exactly. I guess before we get into how the mechanisms of making it work, the what we've been able to do through the partnership with YouTube is we still allow the end user to go to the website where they normally are.
Yes.
So, if you're going to FFV, the FFV's website, you still go there and they embed sort of their match of the day, the video into the website.
Yes.
And you're able to watch it there. I mean, the other end of that technology is that these streams are available on straight on your mobile devices these days as well. So the barrier to entry, certainly as an end user, has dropped. And now in terms of being an administrator and trying to understand how does it work, how do I get it to the web, but that barrier is dropping all the time now, to the point where we believe that we can help you sort of get up and get ready and get into it very quickly.
So if I'm a local netball, president of a local netball club,
yep.
Do I have access, and assuming that obviously that our club uses Fox Sports Fox Sports Pulse platform or as a client,
yep.
I guess that's a question. Do they even need to be a client? But we'll come back to that. Yep. Is this actually something that's available to me at the Mornington Netball Club?
Yeah, absolutely. So where we've been lucky as Fox Sports Pulse in the, you know, over the journey is we have aggregated you know, a large community of people that when you put all the numbers sort of together, it makes us an attractive you know, partner for certain organisations.
Yes.
So maybe Mornington, you know, it's very hard for the president of Mornington to pick up the phone and talk to anyone at YouTube. I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to Google. You sort of almost can't do it.
Yes.
What actually happened is YouTube reached out to us. Now, they've got 9 or 10 sporting partners in Australia, and it's generally sort of your AFL, your Cricket Australia, sort of the big strong sports.
Yes.
And they were looking for a partner at the local level, someone who could aggregate sort of a lot of channels and get you know, get the spirit of community into the YouTube platform. So, generally speaking, live streaming is sort of hard to come by just as a regular YouTube user, but under sort of our partnership with YouTube, it's absolutely available to all.
And so if I can then put my games onto YouTube,
yep.
how would that happen? What do I need to do? I need the Channel 9 kind of production truck and lights and cameras and video operators and what at the grassroots community level, how is it working?
Yeah, look, it's I'll try and give you the sort of the 2 to 3 minute overview without going sort of too deeply into technology.
Yeah, sure.
It's you know, really what you need is you know, either you employ a service provider, but really you can have a volunteer or anyone with a camera who has your YouTube login to their credential.
Yes.
Connect your camera to the internet, log on to a service like YouTube, and begin. Now, it sort of sounds too easy, and I'll break it down a little further, but I think you can see barrier to entry in video in general with services like you know, Vine and Instagram now offering sort of very simple video upload via the phone.
Yes.
It's incredibly sort of, they've crunched that barrier to entry, and the proof is in some of those numbers that they get around the world and not being sport related. So in our realm, or at the local sport level, to get live, you need a device that what is called an encoder. So it encodes video on the fly. So there's a lot of processing to compress the video out of the camera to the size in which it can stream, you know, without buffering,
yep.
Onto the internet or through YouTube. But really, YouTube have now purchased, they saw that need, and they've purchased a service called Wirecast, which is sort of embedded into the YouTube admin panel. So if your computer has a strong enough sort of processor, so, you know, some of those new MacBook Pros and that sort of stuff, you can actually literally have a camera, connect your camera to the laptop, have an internet connection, which might be one of those 4G sort of dongles or something, use the YouTube encoder and publish. That can happen that easily. You know, at the sort of semi-elite level, people like Siebel, the Southeast Australian Basketball League,
yes.
The Eastern Footy League,
yes.
FFV, and you know, a lot of providers now will have sort of a fixed camera, or you know, a camera that you would expect to see recording sport.
Yes,
they'll connect that camera to like a little black box, which is called an encoder, and they can be sort of $400 or so. That does all the heavy lifting for the video operator. You plug that encoder into your computer, and then you connect to YouTube, and it will what is happening, you know, as you look through that camera, will stream into the YouTube website or into a widget, you know, that you've deployed onto your website. So it's really the perceived barrier isn't really there. But once, you know, once we sort of say to someone you need an encoder, they might say, okay, that's a little bit scarier. But the truth is that some of these encoders are now those little USB sticks that you stick into the side.
Yep.
And it just helps the computer with the processing power required to stream. So the barrier is incredibly low now, and it just requires it just requires people to dive in.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. That's been our theory at Sports Community. We'll just get in. The only way to learn it is to do it, whatever it is. So the camera itself, does it need to be a high definition camera or just a normal camera that we've traditionally got kicking around the home and the club?
Yeah, look, I'm of the belief that that you dive in and sort of what's the worst that can happen. I would be trialing the cameras that exist at the moment. I mean, you can get I won't say quality streams, but you know, you can publish, you know, iPhone to internet. Mm. Not necessarily streams, but you know, video in general.
Yes.
excuse me. And the truth is that a lot of the older cameras probably have fantastic sort of embedded hardware. So you might be surprised at the results you can get as long as you can connect that camera to the internet. And you know, you might need a FireWire cable, or these days HDMI cables, or you know, but we can certainly help any club with some of those barriers if we understand the equipment that they currently have and the type of computer, or if they need help with an encoder. You know, we don't partner with anyone, but we know
the technology
what exists, and you know, and certainly if you sort of type live streaming encoder into Google or something like that, you would very quickly see a number of opportunities or providers.
So in really simple terms, you need a camera and you need something a cord, for want of better terminology, to connect it to a coder, which is $400 thereabouts, which then connects to your computer, which connects to the internet, which connects to YouTube, which then connects to your audience.
That's exactly right. And YouTube has removed the need for an encoder if your computer is, you know, can process strong enough. You know, sometimes you open a web page and your computer sort of starts to overheat and it sort of whizzes around.
Yeah,
that's probably not the computer that will work for you. But YouTube have acquired a very good encoder. It's called Wirecast. And that is available for download via the YouTube admin panel, and it just sits there on your computer. May even have switches for sort of multi-camera and that sort of stuff. But that's sort of heading to another place where we don't necessarily need to be today. We'll take a step at a time and try and get people sort of trialing some interviews and talking to people around the club, and then maybe having to think about live streaming, you know, the final quarter of your finals, or you know, one of your sort of grand finals, setting up a camera all day at the basketball. You know, there's some great opportunities there, and the barrier is a lot lower than what you may perceive. Yeah,
Andrew, it's Joe here. In terms of bandwidth and upload restrictions, is there anything that we should note? Like, does YouTube impose any kind of restrictions in bandwidth or data transfer?
Yeah, not through our partnership. So YouTube generally do have a limit of, I think it's 2 gig limit for regular users. It certainly was when we signed the agreement. But under license through us, it is unlimited video uploads, long play. You can stream for 23 hours and 59 minutes a day if you feel like it. Integration with mobile, we can customise players with brands, and that's, you know, with your, again, using the FFV as an example, you know, the FFV sort of YouTube channel, not only can we embed the video within their site, but they can also have a customised sort of looking presence within YouTube under the terms of our agreement. But yeah, certainly there is no restriction on file sizes, which, as you're probably alluding to, Joe, has been another sort of barrier to entry in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Picture a lot of people out there in our audience right now getting very, very excited about this, because you've been able to really put forward how easy this is and how within the grasp of most grassroots sports clubs this technology, this kind of new frontier has become. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, thanks. I actually wrote, when I was thinking about talking to you guys today, I wrote myself a little note, and I sort of said, hang on, where is it? I said, I'm going to make it up because I can't find what I wrote.
Hate it when you do the preparation and it falls through anyway.
We're live here. there is such a load on club administrators and on club volunteers, as we rightly said off the top. You know, there's... volunteers, they sort of blood, sweat and tears, and it's every last hour, and they've got other commitments in life and kids that have got homework to do and other places to be. But I was sort of thinking, the next generation of kids, or even the now generation of kids, that young 14-year-old kid in high school, we've got roles and responsibilities of clubs. You know, we try and keep the pies warm and the drinks cold. We try and get our rego fees and all those things that we need to do. I bet you there is a kid at every club who would love the opportunity to be the digital sort of person at your club and live stream those games, get them onto YouTube, have a sort of a camera and a microphone after game and talk to the player of the match. And, you know, there is an opportunity, and the barrier to entry is so low. These kids, they know more than me.
Just paraphrased a whole section of one of our training sessions, and we talk about, and we're just in the middle of a really 90 training sessions around the state for bowls clubs, and we say, you must have a website, you must have email newsletter, you must have this thing called Facebook, Twitter and YouTube. Yep. And they're looking at me like, I'm talking Swahili. But I'm saying, you don't have to do it. I've just described the skill set of every 15-year-old kid in your town. And that's exactly what you're saying, which is, it's just a skill set thing, isn't it? That you don't necessarily need to be worried about doing it yourself, because there's people, and the kids are already doing it. You know, the kids are using their phones to take videos all day.
Exactly right. And look, these one of the best things you can do, not only as a club administrator, but, perhaps in life and perhaps in my role here at Fox Sports Pulse, is to make champions of other people. You know, what's better than taking that kid under your arm, and it might take you a couple of hours, but then seeing the fruits of those labours. And you might see... that kid blossom and really find a path that maybe they're not good at the guitar, or maybe they're not even good at sport, but the technology or digital element is something that is just right in kids' pockets. It's literally in their pockets with their iPods and that sort of stuff. They know this area.
Oh, unquestionably, no, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm just thinking about it, and this is a little bit selfish, but as I said, we do training all around the country, and one of the things that's coming out is, and particularly in the Northern Territory, where there's such distances between towns and communities, that this would apply to our training as well, isn't it? We could set up a video, encode it, And then live stream it through the YouTube channel. I mean, notwithstanding that it's not sport for a minute, but talk hypothetically.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing stopping from a training session.
Absolutely nothing. And, you know, there is, you know, whether you need to live stream it, to be honest, and not, you know, there is YouTube, you know, is owned, obviously, it's owned by Google. So, you know, even the Google Hangouts and some of those stuff that happen now, we have offices in Melbourne and Sydney here at Fox Sports Pulse that we actually employ a guy who's, he worked in the Melbourne office for 5 years and he's just gone to Canada and he's there for, I sort of wrote a short note, internal note to say, mate, Regs is going to be working remotely for the next sort of 10 years. So he rings in, we have a Google Hangout every morning and we go through screens and we look at all the things that we've got to achieve as a business. So we use sort of Google technology and apps to drive the sort of the live element of our sort of internal meetings and training as well. Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
So those that are actually taking it up, and you mentioned the Eastern Footy League some of Football Federation Victoria's broadcasting or streaming matches. What's been the result? Have you had the opportunity to look behind at the analytics and see, you know, how has it been? Has it been embraced by their audiences, or what's been the result, or is it just, as you use the terminology, bleeding edge technology, where we're just waiting for everyone else to catch up?
Look, those that use it, the results are, they're pretty startling. They're pretty there's nothing like a stat to drive home the, you know, what's actually occurring. The Eastern Footy League have streamed their finals a couple of years in a row, and one of the great things about this YouTube technology is that if you stream something live, it's available immediately on demand after the game, so people can go back and watch it.
Yes.
I think, they had 10,000, 10 or 15,000 at the game itself. They had another, I don't want to get this wrong, but it's around 8 or 10,000 watching online, and then they had another 130,000 or something watch the game after on demand. We are... You know, video in general, people are consuming, it says in analytics, 680,000, I don't know why they give it to me in minutes, 687,000 minutes have been watched in the last 28 days. That's around 190 hours. So there are a lot of people watching a lot of videos. About 80,000 people have watched one of those YouTube videos, not necessarily live stream, but just the stuff that people are uploading into their own channels and websites. Now they're good numbers, but for me that's still tip of the iceberg stuff, because our present sort of community, we've got 80,000 people have watched streams. We're consumed by multiple millions of people per month here at Fox Sports Pulse. So, there's a long way to go, but the community, a year ago I would have talked to you about, 3G versus 4G and, buffering and all that sort of stuff. You know, the 4G technology, getting better data plans off your phone, you know, you just got to sit on the train like I do every morning and just see what people do, you know, everyone's into their devices. So people are not only catching up on shows and that sort of stuff, you know, they are consuming video and YouTube and, as I said before, Instagram videos and Vine and Facebook and Twitter videos. It's just par for the course now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've spent tens of thousands of hours on trains travelling to and from the city myself, and to see how people consume their information from the newspaper now to digital over that time is really a really good case study. And you mentioned data plans, and my next question, I was going to go into the cost, and I'll go back to my little analogy of my local club.
Yep.
What does it cost me, to, first of all, to access this, apart from the $400 encoder and assume I've got the camera and that sort of stuff? And we'll come to data in a minute and the cost of data. But is there any other cost for me to get that up and running?
No, the YouTube, it's free. So I mean, the short answer is it's completely free. The YouTube model is obviously to serve commercial partners or advertising amongst those videos. So that's YouTube's sort of part of the equation. They make these services freely available because they are trying to build community in general, and trying to sort of stake their claim as the leader of video sort of worldwide.
Yes.
The service is completely free to the end user.
So then, data. Talk to me about the data. How much data does it take, and kind of what does that translate to in general costs to stream? And let's assume a game of netball lasts for an hour. I mean, in my house, it seems to last for days. But assume that it lasts a game of netball lasts for an hour. How much data does that take up of a plan, and how big are the plans going to need, and how much does that roughly cost to get that hour worth of video onto YouTube from a data costing type area?
Yeah, look, we say it can be up to sort of a gig of data for a two hour match. Now that depends. There's so many factors here in terms of quality and what you're actually uploading. You know, we spoke about HD before, which is all about sort of resolution, size, and that sort of stuff. What we see for those who are firmly entrenched in sort of the video streaming element. Is that they would normally take sort of either a $79 or a $99 plan and get one of those sort of 4G sort of dongles that is transportable with the laptop.
Yes.
So the total cost might be $1,200 a year, which is pure data, which means it's not only a live streaming, it's something that belongs to the club that you can use for other services, internet, live scoring,
yes,
any other bits and pieces that you do around the club. And, it's probably fair to say that a lot of those clubs already have these sort of things floating around. Certainly, some of the larger leagues that we work with, do have sort of these sort of USB sticks hanging around. For other people, that is the main cost. But, I think there's also prepaid plans. So if you sort of just want to dive in and have a look, you can, you can get something prepaid and see if it really is something that works for you. But, they're the providers through, your general sort of telcos that are available. Yeah.
Andrew, just a techie question from me. In terms of the YouTube, does YouTube serve ads on your stream, even if it comes through Fox Sports Plus, or Fox Sports Pulse. So they still serve ads on your stream.
Yes, they do. Yeah. That's their sort of their side of the bargain, if you like. That they are serving sort of ads now. Look, it's a long way off, but there is part of our agreement that says if the aggregated community gets to X hours per month or X views per month, and there are opportunities there to get sort of the partners of sport involved, if you like. But to be honest, for this conversation, at the moment we're getting about 200 hours a month of views, and we're a long way short of that threshold to be able to control the ads that are served. But look, there are plenty of clubs in YouTube land right now who are uploading videos in the traditional way, and the way that they see the advertising around those videos is exactly sort of what happens now. We just have the opportunity via the YouTube partnership to offer people, you know, customised players and long play. So generally speaking, you can only upload 15-minute videos for regular users. So we have long play, large files, bulk uploading, and obviously the live streaming that we're talking about today.
Yeah. Now, just in closing, and Andrew, we could talk to you for hours because it's just fascinating listening to you. And I know that you're you know, with the title of General Manager Product, really you're looking at the next generation of products now. So where do you see the next generation of products for sports administrators being? Which area are you going to take? Because you know, you are one of the drivers of how we're going to behave, or how we, what tools we're going to use in the future. So, you know, put it another way, where are you going to take us?
Yeah, look, it's we spoke about, before we spoke about the 15-year-old kid that might be able to, you know, get that job of your digital sort of person at your sports club, you know, whether that be video, live streaming, whatever. You know, I read often, you know, you read this phrase now, mobile first. So 60% of the traffic that we serve now is via mobile devices, because we're doing stuff around mapping, you know, getting people to games and, you know, scores and the things that we look at on Monday morning in the train, how where you are on the ladder and all that sort of stuff. Incredible rise in mobile. I think 2 years ago we were 26%. This year we're going to be over 60%.
Wow.
So the next phase is sort of the mobile payments space, I think, for, and I'm talking about in our world, you know, at the local sort of club,
yes,
association.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, sort of mobilising registration payments, and I think about, if I use Auskick as an example, I think about their 2015 sort of registration day, and instead of that poor administrator come 4 o'clock, you know, walking to the car with a tin of cash and being very nervous about, I can't go to the bank tonight and I have to hang on to this until Monday. Having the opportunity for people to, you know, pay via the mobile phone, obviously still attend the registration day to pick up their bags and participate in the sausage sizzle and the kick arounds and all that sort of stuff that you know, again, is part of the sporting community. But certainly the next generation, you know, we're going from a mobile first where we are right now to a mobile only. So I think the next generation of kids, you know, it's everything. Everything is mobile. So we are thinking about team registrations. We're thinking about match day payments. We're thinking about, you know, getting into a basketball stadium. You know, and that $2 or $3, that incremental payment we pay on the way through the door. You know, everything sort of leading back into that. Sort of that big data, if you like, that data about the registrant and some of the things that they're participating in or purchasing. But really, mobile is next, and really getting on top of payments and that sort of, not a cashless, definitely not a cashless society. I mean, obviously we need the money through the tills at community level, but we really want to avoid that need for the administrator. And, you know, I've been in, as a club sort of person, I've been in that thing where you do hold in your hands more money than you are comfortable holding. So getting some of those processes via mobile to really save club administrators those headaches of holding all that money.
Yeah, absolutely. One last question, which is nothing to do with live streaming, but I'd be interested to get your feel from a technological platform perspective, because... Yep. One of the biggest issues that we see in grassroots sport is the loss of intellectual capital, if you like, from committee to committee. Is there any thought to creating a knowledge management type system as well, so clubs can store their documents and, you know, minutes to meetings and financial reports and all the other collateral, you know, different templates of flyers and posters and brochures that normally just sit on people's C drive and then they leave and lost forever.
Yeah, that question, it's almost its own answer. That is so spot on to where we need to be as a provider to sport. You know, we've We've even drawn, I reckon, in presentations in the past, that sort of the picture of the box with all those sort of forms hanging out the top of it, and then replacing that with sort of a single sign-on or a login that can get that goes as an administrator, and that knowledge base, yeah, exists digitally. There's a lot of great providers of service that are probably further down the track than we are, and you could imagine in our position, you know, and when we're in a lucky position, don't get me wrong, but you know, people do come to us who have great ideas and, yeah, are looking to partner, and I think at Fox Sports Pulse, we've certainly grown up enough now to understand that there are people in this space and you know, the partnership opportunities. Well, like we've partnered with YouTube, is a real opportunity. There are people that are trying to get into that space exactly as described, and I think it's a very, very important place for clubs to get not get away from paper, but really get to that sort of single sign-on digital sort of meeting notes, and yeah, that's exactly where we want to be.
Fantastic. Andrew Collins, General Manager of Product at Fox Sports Pulse, thank you so much for your time. I think that was so valuable that if we can have you back over the coming months just to continually update us on the future, on our future, yeah, being grassroots administrators, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. And staggeringly, you must have been good, because very rarely does Drew jag himself off the chair to the microphone to contribute to the conversation. So fantastic, and thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, Greg. Love the opportunity and available anytime.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Okay, welcome back to Sports Community Radio here with Steve Pallas and Jonah Vella. We just had a fantastic interview there with Andrew Collins, General Manager Product, Fox Sports Pulse, talking about live video streaming. And I don't know about you, Steve, but there was a whole lot of light bulbs that were going off in my head when he was speaking about this new frontier, as you pointed out, in club grassroots sports.
Yeah, I must admit, and again, one of the beautiful things about this show for us, Joe, is that we come across a whole range of things that we don't know about, and so we just find the people in the country who know the most about them and bring them on and talk to them. And I must admit, I thought that it was a lot harder to do live streaming than, you know, a video camera connected to your computer, get a black box called an encoder, yep, cost you $400, but you can record every game that you play and have it there. And I tell you, what also blew me away was the figures he reeled out from the Eastern Footy League Grand Final. You know, a crowd of 10,000 watching the live stream, and then 130,000 watching rewatch the game kind of effectively on demand.
Well, let's just take a few minutes to talk about the possible benefits of a club adopting this kind of technology. Okay, we've already discussed the fact that the barriers to entry are very, very low now. You can buy data plans. You've probably got cameras at your club that could do the job. You just need a USB cable. So probably for the cost of $1,200 a year, you're ready to go. And now, the benefits to your club, I mean, straight off the top of my head, you're talking EFL having the grand final having that kind of viewership. Imagine the attractiveness to potential sponsors appearing on that live video stream at some point, logo, whatever, that you would have as a result of doing it. I mean, you would be able, the sponsors would take a really, really keen interest in what you're doing when you can demand that kind of viewership in the community.
Oh, well, yeah, you look at what it's done. I'm just thinking about it now. Like, previously, Eastern Footy League would have been able to go to the sponsors and say, well, we get 10,000 people to the grand final. And we get them for a 3-hour period on a given Saturday, on a given day of the year. Whereas now they can say, well, we're going to touch another 130,000 people, and that tail will last for years. So a sponsor, if that's the angle we're coming at, a sponsor will be able to continue to get their message, not just in that condensed 2.5 hour, 3 hour period, but over a really long period of time. Because particularly if the game was one that was close or have some reason for people to go back, it's huge. But it also, I mean, what it's doing is taking, it really means that for clubs that have got have taken the time to grow their audience, and I don't mean you don't need to do mainstream media, but you don't need mainstream media. You know, your website and your blogs become your newspaper, and your social media sites become where you get the message out. Podcasts and like this will be a radio show podcast, Joe, is the equivalent of a radio show, and now we're replacing TV with
live streaming.
So the reality is, forever and a day, we hear complaints that sports don't get media coverage. The reality is, Joe, you don't need other people's media.
You can do it yourself.
Media is just using other people's audiences.
Yeah,
and just grow your own audience.
And look, the other thing that we constantly talk about in our training, and by the way, congratulations, sports community. We've just clicked over our 30,000th podcast listen, which is quite amazing given that we haven't been doing it for so long. So,
hey, we're not really that good at it.
No, I think we're going all right. we constantly bang on about the fact that you should use technology to do the heavy lifting around your club. You know, in all our courses, we talk about the different types of tools and platforms and these kind of things that you can use that are available to you free of charge in most cases that help you achieve your club's objectives. And this is another one. This is another classic example of where this comes into play. So if you did some live video streaming and Andrew talked about how it can be embedded into your website, all of a sudden that 130,000 people that are viewing the Eastern Football League's grand final are visiting your website. They are spending time on your website. And that has enormous ramifications for your club because that means that the time they're spending on your website is also time that they're looking at your sponsors, your social media, that they're actually engaging with your club.
And they feel like they belong. I mean, that's one of the things that I think everyone in grassroots sports is having a real difficulty comprehending and understanding. And I must admit, I didn't know that 30,000 figure. And yeah, that's a lot of people, Joe. Like that's a big crowd at a game of football that's downloading and continues to download our show. And 130,000 people downloading the grand final from the Eastern Footy League, which is just, when I say just a suburban league in Melbourne. We were at a training session not long ago, and the Mornington Bowls Club, so a suburban bowls club, looked up their website figures, and in the last 9 months, they'd had 49,000 page downloads in that 9 month period. So I think this is one of the things that grassroots sports is having real trouble comprehending, is we are really interested in what's happening in your club. Mm-hmm. And clubs that make that jump over to the other side, where they're providing the content, building their audiences, then and engaging their audiences, those audiences are just flocking back in droves to help the club achieve their objectives, whether it's to buy the shirts, the memorabilia, the membership, the event, come to the fundraising event, the sponsorship, whatever it is, because we're engaging those audiences, they're acting like the crowds of professional sports clubs and the supporters and members of professional sports clubs. And it's really interesting, Joe, that in the next couple of days we'll be doing presentations in Canberra for the teams that compete, the Canberra teams that compete in the national sporting competitions, whether it be the Raiders and the Brumbies in the league and union, or down to the Canberra Cockatoos, which are the competing in the national orienteering competition, and then on the weekend we were off to talk at the New South Wales Dragon Boat Conference. So we've done a lot of work looking at the social media and the size of the audience of those Canberra teams and also New South Wales Dragon Boats clubs. And one of the things that struck me very, very clearly was that successful clubs have big audiences. And typically the Canberra audiences, if we take away the rugby league and rugby union, the Canberra clubs that are competing in the national leagues have very small audiences, with the exception of a couple, and Canberra Cavalry, which is the baseball team that competes in the National Baseball League. They have 8,900 Facebook followers and 14,000 Twitter followers, where everyone else in Canberra has got less than 500 of each of those things. And it's no coincidence then that the Cavalry have won the flag in the last couple of years and was last year voted the best administered club. Then we went and did that same research in dragon boat racing, and the same thing occurred, that the most successful dragon boats had massive audiences comparative to everyone else. But it makes common sense, because what they're doing is engaging their audience, and then that audience is then reciprocating and being involved in the club, have a sense of belonging. Then the club asks for help, you know, buy a raffle ticket, come to an event, come and watch us compete, whatever it is that the call to action is. And because they have a very big, highly engaged audience, they're coming and helping the club, which becomes self-fulfilling in the success cycle, if you like, of that club. So it's there's a very, very big, well, there appears to be a very direct link to the size of your audience and the success of your club on and off the field, or water in case of dragon boats, which we're going to explore in coming months to see whether that's just a little bit of anecdotal evidence or something really, really, really relevant, Joe. Mm,
and I think that this is one of the beauties of live streaming too, is that its capacity to expand your audience is probably at the bleeding edge, at the forefront, something that we have not seen as of yet. And I'll give you a couple of examples in my head that I can think of straight away. Andrew talked about the thirst for content and the fact that it's, you know, people are using their mobile devices on the way to work, and Steve spoke about it, you spoke about it as well, and that's growing, you know, 30% year on year. And also, clubs have got events that are happening all the... Sam Squires, who we had on the show earlier, also told us never to judge what content people find consumable.
Don't assume they won't consume. Yeah,
don't assume they won't consume. So you might have an under-10s carnival final that you think is not worthy of live stream, but you might find that you might get 200 people come along to watch 210 teams from a region battle it out, and that's all you get. You live stream it, and then people from all around the world start to become your audience.
Grandparents and family, cousins and aunties and uncles.
Yep, all overseas. So its ability to expand your audience is unbelievable. And if something quite novel happens in that game and it just happens to go viral, there's another opportunity to expand your audience even further. So to me, this video streaming technology is something that all clubs should keep very close tabs on, and contact us if you need any further info. And
just turn your phone off there, Joe. And it just dawned on me is the Princess Fiona saying bring home some milk, Joe? it just dawned on me, Joe. We just looked at this in the context of live streaming of matches, but really it could be live streaming of events. It could be live streaming of the match reports or the coach's report after the game. It could be live streaming of a coaching session. And sugar too. She wants to, Joe. That text little message thing coming through. Yeah, and so we don't need to limit our thinking to. It could be getting up and demonstrating sponsors' products. You know, as part of a whole range of ways. So it really opens up another way for us to engage in communicating with our audience. But one of the things we've got to get used to in local sport, and it's really only dawning on me in the last couple of weeks as we've started to explore this area, there's a huge amount of people that are interested in your club.
Absolutely.
So let's start communicating with them in the way that they want to, at the time that they want to.
All right, so we've talked about live streaming. You can give us you can drop us an email at jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au if you need any questions answered about live streaming, and we'll certainly correspond with Andrew Collins of Fox Sports Pulse as well if we can't give you the answers. And you can also visit their website at foxsportspulse.com, and there's a support area there, and you can ask them yourselves. All right, I hope you enjoyed the live streaming chat that we've had today, and stay tuned for more great content here on Sports Community Radio with Joe and Steve. Okay, we've come to that time again where we've going to have to wrap up the show, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Steve will be back with me next week, and hopefully he'll have a nice tan on him after being up in Cairns at the Parks and Leisure Conference. If you would like to download this podcast or play any of the previous podcasts, then visit our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au. You'll find them all there, as well as some other great content, news on grants, on how to raise funds, and lots of free resources for you to enable you to be the best volunteer that you can be for your grassroots sports club. So on behalf of me, Joe Novella, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we look forward to bringing you the best content from the world of grassroots sports next week on Sports Community Radio.